Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
If you'd like to be seated. We'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone on this Easter day as we celebrate our Lord's resurrection together this morning. And it's a privilege that we don't take for granted after the events of the last number of years. It's lovely to be able to worship together in person, in church. And just as our Easter service begins today, I want to say a huge word of thanks to those who've decorated our church so beautifully for today. I want to thank Mark and the choir for the wonderful music we've enjoyed right through Lent and Holy Week. And I want to say thank you to our technology team who have done a magnificent job just offering that service to us and enabling people at home also to join us. And we want to say a warm word of welcome to those who are at home this morning and worshipping with us online. Also wanted to just mention two notices for the week that is to come. On Wednesday morning at 10:30, we will be celebrating Holy Communion with prayers for the sick at 10:30 on Wednesday morning, and the Pilates class will be meeting on Wednesday evening at 7:00. Also to say that the list of items for our Ukrainian family that we hope to support are going to be published not on the Facebook page as we'd originally planned, but in the parish magazine, and that'll be available next week. But as we come together, we're going to stand to sing our opening hymn. It's a hymn of joy that celebrates the great truth that's at the heart of our service today. Jesus Christ is risen today. Service today, the service of Holy Communion, and we pray together. Almighty God, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we respond to God's forgiveness as we sing together the hymn Gloria, Gloria. our special collect prayer for today, Easter Day. Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant that as by your grace going before us, you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help, we may bring them to good effect through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And if you'd like to be seated for our epistle reading.
The epistle is written in the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning at verse 19. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the firstfruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation are going to remain seated while the choir lead us in Psalm 150.
The Gospel of our Saviour Christ, according to St. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
We believe in one God.
We believe in one God.
The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We join together now to sing the hymn, The Day of Resurrection.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Turn our eyes towards him this morning. Amen. Take your seats. I was speaking to a friend the other day, and I said, I was thinking about this morning, and I said, do you have any ideas or any examples of someone who's made a bold claim, an outrageous claim? And she said, have you considered the 45th president of the United States? And I thought, oh yes, okay. So Donald Trump. On the 20th of January 2017, Donald Trump was inaugurated as the 45th president of the United States. The ceremony was carried out in front of a crowd, which he said was the largest ever assembled for that purpose. 1.5 million, he said. And he said that God smiled on him during his speech. So much did God smile that he held back the rain. Now, the actual size of the crowd was estimated to be about a third of that. I had to do quick maths in my head. About a third of that. And that's considerably less than the claim he made. And even his claim of 1.5 million, to be fair, was slightly less than the people who turned up for Obama a few years earlier. As for the rain, sadly God did not smile on weather-wise on that speech. I'm not going to get God involved in politics on that level. But God did not hold back the rain. It rained during his speech. Whatever we think of Trump and whatever our politics are, he did become known for the claims that he made. And the job of fact-checker gained new status over those 4 years. The crowds were not the biggest, and it did. The crowds were the biggest, and it didn't rain. Those were the claims that he made. But why make those claims? Why bother? Some say he was lying. Others saying he was deluded. Others say, no, he was absolutely correct. It was the biggest crowd, and it did not rain. Mary Magdalene made a great claim herself, a bolder claim. She claimed she saw Jesus. She claimed she saw Jesus alive and talking 3 days after she'd watched him die. She told his friends, the disciples, and they didn't believe her. She was lying. She was deluded. Something was wrong. Peter needed to do some fact-checking, so he ran to the tomb, and he saw it was empty. He went on to meet Jesus and have one-to-one conversations with him, with this physically resurrected man, over the next few days. He went on to publicly announce, preach, and stake his life on the fact that the man who had been dead was now alive. The man who was killed on a cross at the hands of professional executioners. Let's not think that the Roman soldiers didn't know their job. And he was now alive. And because of his relentless preaching, Peter and his friends suffered beatings, imprisonments, and ultimately an early death. So what do we say about Peter? What was he? Was he a liar? Was he a liar who, for some reason, was willing to die for the lie? Was he deluded? Was he just out of his mind with grief? You can forgive him for that. Were his friends also out of their minds with grief in this joint delusion? And were they all willing to risk it all, to give it all up for the delusion? Or did he believe because it was true, fact-checked, verified, witnessed? What about us? Why are we here today? There's quite a lot of us here. Why are we saying Happy Easter? Why are we singing songs to a man who lived 2,000 years ago? What are we actually doing? I mean, look at us. Look at this building. How much time, resources, organization, and planning over a good few generations has gone into this building, this people, this church? We have We have an organist who's purposefully trained himself in playing songs to this resurrected man. He's even convinced a group of people to gather together and wear purple every week. What is going on here? If we say we believe, and I'm borrowing from C.S. Lewis here quite heavily, if we say we believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, we are either deluded, or we're faking it for personal gain, or we're stating the truth about something that we have personally and corporately together verified as true. It's something we have to think about. It's something we have to articulate. Because the claims that we're making are outrageous. They really are. He was dead. Now he's not dead. It is, when you say it out loud, an outrageous claim. And they have huge ramifications. As was mentioned earlier on in the notices, we've got a family who are currently in Poland, and they came from Ukraine. And we are preparing a home for them. They've been through hell, and we're preparing a home for them in Belfast. Time, effort, and money is being put in to make sure these people can live in a safe and loving place in the embrace of the resurrected Lord. This family alone certainly want us to be sure of what we believe. They don't want to be halfway across to find out that we don't really think it's real. There are ramifications to what we say. So what are we? Are we deluded? Are we here because mommy and daddy believed and so should we? Have we bought into a hoax? Stephen Fry, Ricky Gervais, loads of others, quick minds, good minds, would say that we're deluded. A crutch, fairy stories, pie in the sky, we're a throwback to old days. Science, life has moved on, and so should we. We should evolve. When we stand in unison and sing beautiful songs, are we just being taken up with the emotion, taken up in the moment? It's all smoke and mirrors. Are we deluded? Or are we faking it? We know it's not real, but it brings us comfort. We know it's not real, but do you know what? It keeps Grandma happy when I come. We know it's not real, but it gives him a hobby. He needs to get out of the house. It's a social club. It gives us kudos. It gives us a bit of moral authority. We know it's not real, but it works for us. For me, going into the ministry, I could be faking it. It's great. It makes me a reasonably sized fish in a reasonably sized pond. Bit of a chance for people to hear my voice once a week. I'm being purposefully obtuse. Are we faking it? Out of habit? Out of social pressure? Out of fear of what other people will say to us if we say, do you know what? I don't think so. I don't think so anymore. I'm coming out. Are we deluded? Are we faking it? Or do we say the bodily resurrection, and by that I mean that some people say that, yes, Jesus, the human being, the carpenter who made stuff out of wood, died, but he spiritually resurrected. His body wasn't really there in the resurrection. It was just an apparition. So when we talk about the bodily resurrection, we say, no, we mean that he was as physically alive as he was before he died. And when we talk about this bodily resurrection of Jesus, do we say it's true? Because we know it's true. We know that when we spoke to God, when we spoke to Jesus last week and asked him for strength, it was not a trick of the mind. We did get energy for what we needed to do for the day. Do we know it is real? Because we have felt his touch. We've heard his whisper. We've felt his feelings and grown to know his thoughts. We know it's real because we have a love for Jesus. And a present love we know that is reciprocated. We love him. He loves us. And we have a need to serve and love those around us. We know it's true because we've read the Bible and our hearts have burned within us. We know it's true because when we've been at rock bottom, we've still known his presence. And we know it's true because we've had moments where we've seen a stranger across the street and the Holy Spirit has moved in us and we've recognized one another as being in the same family. We know it's true because we've come into contact with evil and hatred and God has brought us through. We know his healing. We know his protection. We know the claims we make are huge, grandiose, extravagant, but we know them to be true and we're all in. I know, we all know, it's not rocket science, some of us here are going to have our doubts. You don't want to be deluded. You don't want to be making fake claims. In our house, we have a dog and a cat. Two completely different creatures, so different from one another. If I take a wee treat and hold it out for the cat will look at it, sniff it, stare at it, sniff it, and only when I put it down, after that cat has absolutely verified what it is, will the cat eat it. Maybe. If I have a treat in hand for the dog will meet me in midair. It gives zero thought whatsoever to eating anything. The only time it will think about what it's eaten is if it can't quite swallow it and it's too late. And you see the wee eyes go, what have I done? No thought to it whatsoever. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to just take things without thinking. We don't want to make a fool of ourselves. We don't want to be deluded. We don't want to be caught out. And if that's you, good. And if you're, give me an atheist over a faker any day. I do mean that. But if you have your doubts, may I make a suggestion? Maybe two or three suggestions. First of all, take a quiet moment and say to God, I want to believe, but I don't know if you're real. Help me believe. You're not going to lose anything saying that. If he's not real, you've not lost anything. If God is real, you've gained everything. And it would be the beginning of something completely new. Something exciting, something lovely. If you don't want to do that and you want to speak to someone, speak to me. Speak to the rector. Speak to Gillian. Speak to anyone. We'll go and get a cup of coffee. Have a pint. We'll talk about it. There's no better way to spend the afternoon. Another idea, and you've heard this mentioned a lot, is Alpha. Alpha is done online. It is exactly this conversation. It is exactly this. Are we mad? Is this true? What on earth are we doing? And it's a safe space in which to have these conversations. But now, this morning, if you've been unsure up until now, but you do now believe that Jesus and the resurrection is true, and you've been putting off facing it, if for whatever reason you think, yes, I believe it to be true, we're going to pray. And the first part of the prayer is for you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I accept you as my God. I accept your Son Jesus as my friend and Savior. I am not deluded. I'm not a faker. I believe in the resurrected Lord Jesus. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, I choose to follow him. Amen. Let's continue our prayers. As we celebrate the new life of resurrection, let us pray to the one true God who brings us all to life. Lord God, we pray that the church may proclaim with you, with joy, your message of hope for the world. May our lives as well as our worship testify to the truth of the resurrection. Broaden our vision of what is possible through new life in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord God, we pray for the world we inhabit, for those who lead and take important decisions, and for those who follow or are coerced or who have no voice. We pray especially for what is happening between Russia and Ukraine. We pray for mercy and justice, compassion and integrity. We pray for protection against evil and strengthening of goodness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for all children, those who are toddlers, those who are babies. We pray that they may live in a world of love and acceptance. We pray too for those who provide foster care and those who parent children. We pray especially for all children at risk. We pray for the children of families who are living in fear in Ukraine. We pray for the children who are refugees. We pray for children who are at risk of being sent to Rwanda. We pray for all parents and those who support them. We pray for those who are newly baptized, and we pray for those who are going to be confirmed soon. We pray for a deeper commitment to supporting one another as we grow in faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray for those who cannot think for the pain or anguish they are in. We pray for all those whose lives are troubled and insecure, for those who have little energy left to rejoice. Bring healing and the resources to cope with suffering, and give us the grace to carry one another's burdens in love. Lord God, we thank you for lives well lived and commend to your keeping those who have died. Through the resurrection hope, may they know the joy of heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the precious gift of your resurrection life. May we never again take it for granted, but live each moment in the fullness of life that Jesus has gained for us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray together using the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We're going to join together to sing our hymn, "The Whole Bright World Rejoices Now." Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life.
At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory.
Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us to know our need of grace, one in Christ, our Redeemer.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and singing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We in many are one body,
a couple of moments' time, we're going to be inviting people to draw near and to receive the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. If you haven't been in church for a while, we're now permitted to receive communion in both kinds, in bread and wine. But if you'd rather not receive from the cup, if you just make a sign in front of you, maybe like putting your hands in front of your chest, those who are administering the cup will know not to give it to you, and you're very welcome to receive in one kind only. We also want to say that if you're visiting us this morning, the Church of Ireland has an open table. So if you are accustomed to receiving Holy Communion, whatever tradition you've come from, you are most welcome to receive here. Draw near with faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you and lives for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Living God, for our redemption you gave your only begotten Son to the death of the cross, and by his glorious resurrection you have delivered us from the power of our enemy. Grant us so to die daily unto sin, that we may evermore live with him in the joy of his risen life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. May God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, raise you up to walk with him in the newness of his risen life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Thank you so much to everybody for joining with us in our worship today, whether you're here in the building or whether you are joining us online or at home. We are so glad to have been able to celebrate the resurrection together today. At the end of our next hymn, we're going to ask the congregation to be seated for our closing organ voluntary. But before we come to that point, we're going to sing our hearts out in praise and thanksgiving as we sing our closing hymn, Thine Be the Glory.